And so may I speak in the name of the living God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And we have before us today the challenge of tackling one of the most difficult passages of Scripture. So, courage. All of you will have images in your mind seen from news reports where violence of some shape or form has occurred, whether it be riots in Spain or in Holland or demonstrations in Berlin, whether it was in the States on Capitol Hill, or whether the more recent coup in Myanmar. Think in those images of what is being worn by the people who are in law enforcement, possibly the military and the police. They're wearing helmets and shields, full body shields to protect themselves, and they may or may not also be armed, or maybe just have a stick. And then alongside that image of protective gear, think to that parallel enemy that we've been battling with for the past year, that unseen virus. And think of what people engaged in that battle are wearing to protect themselves. Again, shields in front of their faces, masks, and full body stuff. You go into danger, whether you're in crisis danger, like I've painted for you, or whether danger is a normal part of your working life, if you're in a fire crew, for instance. You go into that sort of danger prepared. You don't go in t-shirts and shorts and flip-flops. We have in our gospel reading today Jesus' friends. They themselves were used to danger. Living at that time was perilous. Anyone growing up in Galilee at that point in history was used to revolutions. They were used to when there were new leaders or new prophets or new teachers with fresh things to say or with old things to say in a fresh and new way. They were used at that time, in that context, to it all going badly for them. And these disciples of Jesus would have known that to follow him was the far side of dangerous. And if they hadn't been astute enough to realise that, then the death of Jesus' mentor, John the Baptist, would have been a very sharp reminder, a real wake-up call. Discipleship was a life-threatening activity. And in that context, our reading for today, our gospel reading for today, the opening verse reads thus. Jesus began to teach them. Jesus began to teach them. And you think, hang on, we're at the back end of Mark chapter 8 here. He's been teaching them for quite a while. So you flip back in your Bible and you look and see what happened at the beginning of chapter 8. And all of you people who know and love your Bible so much will tell me that remarkable and well-known story where Jesus says to his disciples only, "Who do people say I am?" And he gets some answers. And he puts them on the spot and he says, "Who do you say I am?" And Peter, impetuous, impulsive Peter, who's got so much wrong so often, comes out with the statement that made him famous. "You are the Christ," he says. And it was that insight or that revelation that showed Jesus maybe they are ready for the next level of understanding. And he comes to a new teaching. And so he began to teach them. It's not unlike, there's no point in teaching somebody how to do advanced maths if they're still adding and subtracting on their fingers. There is no point in teaching someone the plays of Shakespeare or the great poets if that person is still learning to read. And thus it was here too. The disciples needed to have been around Jesus, his miracles, his teaching, his healings, long enough to be ready for this new teaching. And what is this new teaching? Jesus says there are two certainties. One, this is going to end in death. And two, I am walking towards it because this is what I have come for. And Peter flips. Of course he flips. First of all, when you were faced with danger, all of us go that way, not towards it. Totally counterintuitive. And then secondly also, Peter had such high expectations. What use to us is a dead Messiah, to put it bluntly? And we have that little conversation between them. But Jesus gives this new teaching three times. Here's the first time. He gives it again in chapter 9. He gives it again in chapter 10. And in chapter 10, it climaxes, that same conversation climaxes with this very well-known verse, Mark 10:49. And who knows, some point in school you might have been told to learn it. The Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. The Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. Jesus had that conversation three times with his disciples. They needed to hear that three times. There are two certainties. One is, this will end in death. And the second is, I'm going in that direction because this is what I have come for. This is what I have been sent to be and sent to do. Mark goes on in the other chapters beyond this reading to explain a little bit more. And there is an allusion about the Son of Man. What does that phrase even mean? And tying it to the kingdom and the coming of the kingdom. And he makes this promise that some of you will witness this. And so it was. All those disciples were around at the crucifixion and the resurrection and the coming of the Spirit at Pentecost. And what that did to transform their own understanding. So this teaching that Jesus gave them three times, the same teaching, they didn't really understand it until Holy Week and Easter, and I would say even beyond that. Yeah? And so it can be for us, that we can read the Bible, we can know something of our faith, understand things, but it can take a long time for pennies to drop and dots to join up. And of course, these people were simple people. They were not the educational elite. So for them, maybe the step in faith to embrace this teaching was actually all the greater. And yet, here they were, required to follow in his footsteps. There was the challenge. And the challenge is there for us today. It's no longer life-threatening to be a disciple of Jesus. But it isn't easy either. So what can we take away from this story, apart from the theology? Let's look slightly this way. Despite the risks and the danger, and with or without the full body armour, the disciples did follow. And as they followed, they understood more, and their faith grew, and their courage grew, and their strength grew. And so it will be for us. When people are baptized or confirmed, whatever age that happens at, there are kind of decisions made around that. But actually, faith comes not in that decision making. It comes in the following. It's week on week, month on month, year on year, decade on decade, if you're old like me, yeah, that you think, I never understood that before. I never saw that before. I never made that connection before. And we grow in the following. Greater clarity comes, greater understanding comes, but also greater spiritual fitness comes. And it's greater spiritual fitness, call it resilience if you like, that will be our foundation, that will hold us when times get tough. Yeah? And it comes with the following. So, just at the end, come back to our image of police, military, health workers, all those I had in my opening scenario. Look behind the body armour and the clothes to protect the people, the human faces, the exhaustion, the fear, the tension. Those people were not the same people they were a year ago for the health workers. Those people who have those jobs in the police or in the military, they're not those people that they were before that conflict or that demonstration or that career path. Living with dangers, whether it's ongoing, whether it's short-term, medium-term, or only in crisis, it changes people. And we've lost that in being followers of Christ. But what we can do is we can look how it was for these disciples, who were nevertheless, with or without the body armour, they went for it. So they followed in the footsteps of Christ. And I invite you once again, as I invite myself, to follow in the footsteps of the disciples. And so may that be a blessing to you, may it be a blessing to me, and may your further reflections on this really quite momentous passage put wind in your sails. So, Lord God, give us grace to see afresh the nature and calling of Jesus, to rediscover in the scriptures the essential identity of what you are called to do and be. And as we in our turn commit ourselves to follow him, help us to be courageous in intent and patient in expectation. Amen.